Welcome to the On Purpose Show with Susan Reeve and Rick Hansen. For compelling conversations, opening doors to discover and live a life work that's alive with passion and purpose. And now, here are Susan and Rick.
Hi, this is Susan, and welcome to another episode of the On Purpose Show. And I'm here once again with Rick. Hi, Rick.
Hey, Susan. Great to be here.
Yes.
We're looking forward to today's show. And, you know, if you're listening and you're starting a business, maybe you're thinking about starting a business, or you're just ready to make a change with work to something that feels more true, and maybe you even just have this little glimmer that it might be something that's, you know, on your own or creating something, you're going to love today's show.
Yeah, it's so exciting to me when we have guests who are doing what they love so they're personally fulfilled as well as being financially prosperous. And I think that's really the goal in terms of doing life work that we have passion about and is aligned with our purpose. So I'm really excited for our guest today.
Our guest today is George Cao, and he's a coach that helps people create their true livelihood. And he defines true livelihood as work that's emotionally fulfilling, mentally challenging, spiritually growing, and financially sustaining. He's also the creator of a really content-rich YouTube channel that I think you'd enjoy. It's called Our Highest Work, and it's about spiritually-based success. And I've been on George's newsletter list for about a year. And during that time, I've been really impressed. I've seen him to be someone who's doing business in a way that's clearly authentic, generous, and that's full of integrity. So welcome, George.
Thank you, Rick. Thank you, Susan. It's great to be here.
Looking forward to hearing more about the work that you're doing and kind of what led you to that. So that's where we start. We really start with the story, the path. Tell us a little bit about what led you to where you are now.
Yeah, some of
the turning points.
Absolutely. Happy to share it. So I guess one turning point from childhood I'll mention is I remember clearly being in school and wondering, you know, I think I was in a math class, maybe it was trigonometry or something like that, or maybe even early, maybe it was algebra or something. I'm like, when are we going to use this in our life? You know, I think algebra has become extremely useful, I think, for some people. Trigonometry and things like that, not so much, you know, and or even certain aspects of history or other things we learn in school. And I remember always questioning about purpose of what we're doing. And I remember seeing the unhappiness of the adults around me and going to work and coming home from work. And I'm like, well, why do they keep doing that if it's not fun, if it's not happy? And my dad's answer to me was, well, I've got to chase money so that you all have enough to live. You know, you can. And I was lucky to have grown up in a, quite a privileged, you know, upper middle class family. And, you know, my dad felt a lot of pressure to, and my mom was a stay-at-home mom, and my dad felt a lot of pressure to continue making that money to support our lifestyle. And I think that's one of the, if I can share a nugget of learning from that, is true livelihood is not just about, you know, finding well-paying work that we love. I think it's also intimately connected to finding happiness without needing lots of stuff. And I actually really also enjoyed one of your earlier podcasts episodes with the I forget her name, but All You Need Is Less, that you were interviewing the author of that book.
Yeah.
Yes, Madeline Somerville.
Yes, yes, yes. And I encourage everyone to listen to that one. It's the more we need externally, the harder we have to work, the more urgent there is in terms of financial stress. And the more we're able to appreciate the current experience we have and enjoy and have a rich inner life and have rich community life, you know, in our relationships, et cetera, the less we need in terms of stuff, the less we need to spend money on, and actually the more liberation we have in terms of our work because we're able to do work without needing a huge financial return, right? And so that was a turning point just in childhood, just questioning, you know, purpose and looking at the work of adults. And then just a few years ago, 6-7 years ago, I was in a job where, you know, I was well paid, but it was a small company, and I did some great projects in the company just in the first few months I was there, and then I felt that, you know, in some sense my work was done there. I felt that the company could actually use the money they were paying me in better ways than paying me, because there were some things I couldn't move forward because of the company culture or the, you know, other reasons. So I tried to quit, and they wouldn't let me quit. it took my third time quitting until they said, George, okay, fine, we get it. You really don't, you know, really don't feel like you can contribute here. And that was in 2008, 2009. And so this was probably one of the worst times to, you know, quit a stable job. So
yeah.
I couldn't find a job for about 3 to 6 months, and I'm kind of impatient when it comes to that. And so I started to try to, you know, do some productivity coaching, because I've always been really into reading about time management and organization and being efficient with our time and things like that. So I started doing that. I helped some friends with it. I even got some payment from some supportive people around me to do that. But it wasn't really getting much traction. There wasn't, you know, it was hard to try to get sales for that. And that's another nugget that I'll share, is that true livelihood is a partnership between you and the world, the universe. And so a lot of people think that they've got to make it happen. They've got to push through and make the world understand what they're trying to say, right? And true livelihood is not really like that. It's noticing the signals from the universe. Or we might even use the word God. How does God or the universe signal to us? Well, much of the time, it's actually through other people. We forget that. We think that, well, God only talks to me if I have some voice in my head or some really weird synchronicity or something like that. No, God talks to us every day through other people too. Especially if there's more than one person saying something to us, we should probably pay attention, you know. And so, because the Spirit works through all of us, you know. And so I then went on. I said, you know, this thing is not quite working. Let me try something. And noticed that friends were asking me to show them about social media, because I've been really into online communities ever since before it was online communities. It was ever before it was just email groups. I was really into it. And so I started teaching social media, you know, how to use Facebook professionally, how to use LinkedIn efficiently, how to use Twitter, that kind of stuff, to friends and colleagues, because they were asking me for it. And one of my colleagues said, yeah, you should charge for this, because I was doing it for free. I was doing it for fun. I was doing it because I wanted to help them, and I really thought that a lot of people didn't know some of the stuff I knew, and if they knew it, their professional lives would be more thriving, because they could use a tool that, you know, that they know is powerful to improve their professional life. So, yeah. So I said, really? People can charge for information online? People can charge for teaching online? Like, that was how green I was. That was how, you know, newbie I was back in 2009 on all this. And so I started to put together a 3-part webinar about social media. And the way I did it was the way I spread the word about it was I went on LinkedIn and I found some people who seemed to have audiences, whether they had a blog or a newsletter or something. And what I would do is I would look at their LinkedIn profile and message them and give them a few pointers that were, you know, high leverage things they could do differently about their LinkedIn profile to make it more effective. And I said, oh, by the way, I have a free webinar that I love teaching about how to use social media effectively and simply. to grow your business or grow your professional life. Is that, would that be interesting for your audience? You know, and
sure.
Of course, I reached out to people for whom their audience would probably be interested. They're teaching something related to business or career development, but they themselves weren't teaching social media. And that's another nugget of a tip I would share, is that there are so, practically speaking, the internet has an infinite number of people. Now, obviously, it doesn't have an infinite number, but in terms of our business, in terms of our profession, there are more people that could support us online than we ever would have time for the rest of our life. By support, I mean either hire us, buy from us, or get the word out for us. There's practically infinite. Okay, so that's important to know. It's not the sense of, oh my God, I talked to someone online, they wouldn't buy from me, they wouldn't refer me, and I talked to another person, they wouldn't buy from me. So therefore, it must be that nobody wants my thing. Okay, no, it's infinite. So you just got to try different ways, say it differently. So, long story short, I reached, someone who was willing to share my thing with their audience. I shared it. People loved it. People started buying my social media courses. And within the first year of doing that, I had surpassed my full-time income from any other job I've ever had. So I knew that I was onto something. And again, as I said, true livelihood is about your partnership with the universe. So if people are demanding you to do something, requesting you to do something, listen to that, because that's what God is saying. There's a door here I want you to look at and to walk through. And so just to bring it closer to the current time, that was 2009 when I found that, and I then expanded my clients. My students were then saying, George, you're so great at these webinars. Can you teach us how you do them, how you get people to say yes to your free webinars, how you partner with them, how you work out that partnership, how you then structure your webinar so that people are enrolling in your products and services? And I'm like, okay, I'll make it a bonus into my social media course. I'll just teach you how I do all this stuff. That became so popular that it then – brought it. I spun it off into its own program called the Webinar Method. I taught that well for like 2-3 years, and then I expanded it more to now I'm more seen as a kind of an online marketing generalist strategist. Then I help people create that strategy that's productive and effective, and then give them the resources they need if they need any specifics on any of that. And of course, I then further expanded that out into including my kind of spiritual life, my spiritual values. So an important nugget or tip from all that is, it's okay, and not just okay, a lot of times it's more effective to start with, and sure, probably some of you have heard this before, to start with something that is defined, a narrower niche, a narrower need that you could thrive and really become one of the best in. And then once you do that well and have some credibility there, you will then start to see what else people are asking you for, what other questions that are not directly related to the thing you're doing, but it's somewhat related. They'll be asking you questions around that area. And some of those questions you would love to answer. You would be also interested in creating a solution for. And then you can expand your business into answering that other question, meeting that other need, helping people reach that other goal. Okay. So for me, again, the example was, I started with social media as the narrow niche. It's still quite broad, but it's not just I teach people marketing. That's really broad. I teach people social media, especially for people who want to do it productively, especially for solopreneurs and for kind of career builders, professionals. Okay, that's pretty, getting down to the more narrow. And then getting demand then about asking me to teach webinars on how to do it. Then I expanded into that based on demand. And then I expanded into more general, like, okay, I want the sort of overall marketing strategy so that I know how to deal with the overwhelm of what everyone, all the email lists, all the gurus are telling me to do this and this and this and this. How, George, do I do I look at that whole picture and choose what's right for me? And then, you know, so on and on. So the nugget there is, it is often a very effective path to go with the narrow first and then expand out as you build credibility and as you build an audience. And eventually you can be, like what I'm doing, is I am thriving in my generalism. I love being a generalist, you know, because then I can bring in my spiritual values and all that stuff. But it starting there, I'll kind of give you a quick little framework, and I know I'm talking a lot, so please interrupt me anytime.
This was great.
Yeah. So a little framework is, I think about, to reach your true livelihood, there are kind of two paths to it. And these are separate paths. I mean, you can think of these paths as two extremes. One extreme is what I call the artist's path, and the other extreme is what I call the entrepreneur's path. Now, what I just described, starting with a narrow niche, starting with a narrow demand, not just a narrow niche, but looking at what people are needing and buying and meeting and creating a solution for that need that's narrow and becoming excellent at it, and therefore building more credibility, building an audience around that, which, of course, will then ask you questions related to that, then you can expand out to another niche. Oh, and I forgot to mention, let's say you were dealing with a narrow niche and you got good at that, and then people started asking you five related questions on, you know, five questions on related niches that isn't the central thing you do. Now, out of those five, you may really think, okay, I could enjoy creating a solution for related question number four, but not so much 1, 2, 3, and 5. So what you can do then is you can then partner with other service providers, other businesses that provide solutions to related question 1, 2, 3, and 5, right? And if you do that, you can, if it makes sense to you, earn a commission for recommending those services to your audience, because your audience then can start to see you as not just some person who only deals with that thing, but you become a solutions person for your audience. Okay, so that's the entrepreneur's path, is starting with a narrow demand and expanding out from there as you have credibility and audience until you become, guess what, a generalist to the degree you want to be, and to be able to infuse your values fully into the front. Because I always had spiritual values, but I didn't put it in the forefront because I knew that that would turn off a lot of people. So what I did was I really kind of I did that, my spiritual stuff. I did that on my spare time and other. But then as I grew in credibility, I was able to bring that more to the front, you know, because then I wasn't afraid of losing people because I already had a lot of people following me and I had the credibility. And so, okay, so that's the entrepreneur's path. It's going from narrow demand and widening out to being a generalist to the degree you want. The other path, the artist's path, is sort of the, you might say, the opposite, you know, opposite end of the spectrum, which is starting out with not the external demand, but the internal demand. Starting out with, oh, my God, I would so love to do X, Y, Z in the world. I would so love to explore ABC topic. I would so love to do this particular thing in the world, whether it's an art, whether it's a message you want to share, whether it's a tool you want to create, but it's nothing based on external demand, what people are asking you, but just based on what your inner calling is. Okay? That's the artist path. And the artist path, very simply, is to bring that out, to bring that message, to bring that tool, to bring that art out into the world as widely as you can, so working on visibility for that thing, until you are visible enough where you are finding your true fans who are drawn to you based on that inner calling that you have. Okay? So it's sharing a lot of stuff for free, basically, in the artist's path. Drawing people to you. And then, once you have an audience, you can then ask them what their request is, what they would buy based on the things that you've been doing. And then you create a solution, you create an art, you create a tool, you create something that they would buy, and then they buy it, they start to support you financially, and all at the same time you're still doing your visibility stuff until you build a greater audience. So that's what that's a perfectly valid path, and the wonderful thing is that when these two paths, either one that you follow is fine. The artist's path is slower in terms of money, but much faster in terms of meaning, because you start with meaning and then you get to the money later. The entrepreneur's path, you start with money and then you build in the meaning later. Okay, so it really depends on what your priorities are, but they both kind of converge, done well. If you follow the entrepreneur's path, you do it well, you infuse your values, you become the entrepreneur artist at the end. And then the artist path, if you do it well, you build an audience, you sell them something they want, you become the artist entrepreneur. And so it's kind of two paths to the same destination.
Wow, George, you have, it's so clear that you are generous, that you are passionate about what you're doing. And thank you for your story. And you've already given both Rick and I, as well as our audience, such a wealth of information. But I'm curious from your experience, what seems to keep people stuck in not realizing their true livelihood?
Yeah, wow. That's a great question, and I could go on for 3 hours about this, but I won't. I'll just say that there are a couple of common things, right? So one common thing is introvertedness. There's nothing wrong with introvertedness, right? But people use that as an excuse. They say, well, I'm introverted. I don't want to be seen. And so therefore, it's impossible for me to do the thing I love in the world because that requires being seen in some ways, and in some ways being seen by a lot of people, especially if you're following the artist's path, right, and want to make that successful. Anyway. So people use that as an excuse, and what I say is basically this. You can control, and part of the introverted challenge is needing to recover, right? So needing to recover energetically after a public speaking thing or after a radio interview or something. And I said, I tell them, listen, you need to structure your time differently so that you are both doing the needed visibility things and then having the recovery time. And that's what a lot of entrepreneurs or introverts don't do properly is to structure enough self-care and recovery time. And they also, therefore, not being recovered enough, they think they can't do the visibility stuff. So that's really important. And the other thing about introverts is that there are at least 10 really, really good marketing and visibility methods. I mean, things like social media, podcasts, YouTube videos, in-person speaking, creating infographics, doing webinars, press releases, on and on, search engine optimization. There's so many marketing methods. And the key, and this is actually another problem people have, is the feeling of, oh, my gosh, there's so many things, and how do I prioritize, and do I need to do all of them? Here's my answer to that. You don't need to do all of them. In fact, doing all of them would make you overwhelmed and unfocused and ineffective. The key is to try some of them until you find the method that really utilizes your unique strengths. Oh, I'll give you an example. I have never been a lover of doing writing. I do find speaking. I enjoy thinking out loud. But a lot of my clients prefer to write. Okay, so let's use those two examples. So what I do is the way I create material, create information, is by speaking it out loud, whether in a video or in an audio. And then I take that audio or recording, and then I transcribe it, whether it's I transcribe it or having someone else affordable transcribe it. And then I can have it edited, either by me, again, or someone else who loves doing that kind of stuff. And that becomes a piece of writing that can then be shared widely. Now, I didn't write it. I spoke it, right? And then, but for the writers, right, the people who love to write, write as much as you can. And if you don't love to speak or have someone else record, have someone else who has a great voice and dramatic voice record that thing so that it can become a podcast or a video or whatnot. And so there are so many methods of marketing that it's not that one is better than the other. The best marketing method is the one that uses your unique strengths, is the one that you enjoy doing such that you will persist in doing it. And if you persist in doing it, you will become successful with that marketing method. This is why sometimes we get so confused because one expert who's a social media expert says, oh, no, you have to be on Facebook. You have to do social media, right? Because that's what they're good at. Of course they think that it's the end-all, be-all. Okay, another expert who loves public speaking says, no, the way to clients is filling your workshops. You have to do public speaking. If you're not doing it, you're a fool. Okay, another person who is a video expert says, you are a fool if you don't do online video. Well, the truth is they are right in their own respect because they're really good at that thing. So they see that as the end-all, be-all. The truth for us is we need to find what works for us, and if we do that faithfully, it will bring us the clients, the leads, the business, the promotions, whatever you're looking for that you want.
Well, the time has just flown by. It would be great to listen to you for 3 hours.
We may have to do a follow-up show.
What's the best way for people to find out more about your work to be able to access your podcast?
Yeah, sure. So these days I'm much more active on my video channel, and you can find it. Well, the best way is a single link. It's georgekao.com, GeorgeKao.com. That's my last name is KAO. GeorgeKao.com, and you go there and you click on free. FRE, free. I have all of my training for free. I used to make lots of money selling information and trainings. I just made a decision beginning of this year. I'm giving it all away for free. No opt-in required. You don't have to give me your email address if you don't want to. It's all up there. And I just recommend people go there and please feel free to be in touch with me. If you want to be in touch with me, you actually can opt into my email subscriber list. You'll get an auto reply saying, hey, what can I help you with? And if you just reply to that, that's my email address, and I do my best to respond to every email that comes to me. So anything I can help with, especially if I can have some kind of a quick insider answer for you, I'd be happy to.
Wow. George, you've given so much value here, and I love how even as you're sharing, it's like one ear is listening for what does this audience need, and then you say, okay, well, here's something to keep, and pay attention to this. So the nuggets have been fantastic.
Oh, I'm glad.
For our listeners, you know, who've heard something today, it's like, oh, okay, I can use that. We'd like to give people a step, like one small step they could do sometime this week. And is there something you could suggest that our listeners could do in the next week? It'd be pretty simple.
Yes.
It would be a step towards true livelihood.
Yes. I like to use a question to motivate me and to inspire me. The question is, if you had 1 year left to do your highest work, what would you do?
Mm.
Another way of asking it is, if you only had 1 year left to share the message that you think the world needs to hear more of, or to hear it in a particular way, or to understand in a particular way, what would that message be?
Mm. Great questions.
Yeah.
And we have one final question, and we have to about 45 seconds to go. And that is, what's a gem of wisdom you'd like to leave our listeners with?
Yeah, I would say this. Redefine success every day. I actually have a full 30-minute video explaining what I mean by that. But the gist is, do not let the world define success as, oh, you got to reach a six-figure, seven-figure income, you got to reach this size audience. You define for yourself what success is every day. For me, success is spiritual growth through service. So that's more important than whether I had another client sign up with me today or not. Was I present? Was I mindful today? And if so, I succeeded.
Well, you have clearly been present and mindful with us. Thank you so much for the wealth of information and the enthusiasm that you've shared with us.
You're so welcome. It's been a pleasure, and I'm happy to have gotten to know you.
Thank you, George. It was great to have you, and you've clearly served here today, so we appreciate
it. Thank you so much.
Wow.
Okay,
I think we do need to have George back.
So
absolutely, and I'm looking forward to listening to the recording of this. There were so many nuggets, golden nuggets, that George offered us. So I look forward to being here with you again next week, Rick, when our guest is Melissa Heisler.
Wonderful. We'll see you here next week, Susan. Bye.
Bye.
Join Susan and Rick next week right here on the On Purpose Show, and join the conversation at facebook.com/onpurposeshow.